The Sunday Times has sacked a columnist and apologised for an article that suggested two BBC presenters were well paid because they were Jewish.
To the story of a columnist, well, he was a columnist until the weekend, the Sunday Times firing Kevin Myers. Now, if that name doesn't exactly switch the lights on, he's a columnist for the Sunday Times Ireland, and he's written what's said to be an anti-Semitic column. So,
Rather shocking claims. Women don't earn as much as men because they aren't as ambitious, and the BBC's Claudia Winkleman and Vanessa Feltz managed to negotiate a good salary from the BBC because they're Jewish. That was what was printed in the Irish edition of the Sunday Times this morning.
The reaction to Kevin Myers' column last Sunday was swift and damning.
It was just astonishing to see them in a newspaper in 2017. They're something that wouldn't be raising eyebrows in Dickensian times.
The voice of Campaign Against Anti-Semitism chairman Gideon Falter.
To see those in the Sunday Times, one of the country's most respected broadsheets, was just an absolutely astonishing sight. I'm not sure how it is that the Sunday Times has managed to allow those comments to appear in its pages.
Within hours, Myers' article, ostensibly an argument over pay equality, had been removed from the Sunday Times website. Apologies were swift, and ultimately, Myers lost his job. What was interesting was how the debate was interpreted. Here in Ireland, as the pitchforks were being set aflame on social media, the focus was as much on alleged misogyny as it was on anti-Semitism, which raised the question, had it not been brought to the attention of the English, would this have been chalked down here as another Myers rant? Because it wasn't the first.
Next guest says we're in crisis. He says we've allowed hundreds of thousands of immigrants into this country without a thought for the consequences. Will you welcome, please, Kevin Myers.
From an interview with a little-known talk show host in 2008.
Kevin,
you're very welcome, please.
One is open to misrepresentation and being misunderstood. And in your promo for this programme, you said that we're going to discuss why Kevin Myers says we've more than enough immigrants for our own good. I've never said that. What I've said
You did say in The Independent of the 5th of September, immigration is now not merely the dominant feature of Irish life, it's the greatest threat to the existence of the Irish nation as a coherent and cohesive whole.
Continuing immigration over the next, on the levels we've seen for the next 20 years, we've seen in the last 10 years.
No doubt there was controversy over Myers' comments then. Of course, his dire predictions have yet to come to pass, but what I found worrying was that I didn't remember that column or that controversy, nor did I remember this from News Talk.
Oh yes, it's Lizzie Windsor, and she's on the way. Kevin Myers, are you going to tug your forelock?
Now, I was not brought onto this programme to do anything like this, and I really resent an introduction like that. State heads of state regularly visit other countries without remarks like that being introduced. It is nothing to do with tugging a forelock. That's a contemptible way of introducing this item. I mean, that's a kind of primitive tribalist talk that I wasn't expecting. I was not invited onto this programme to have to defend myself, which is why I'm now ending this interview.
So you're heading off. That's Kevin Myers anyway.
At least one debate that Kevin Myers didn't want to have. Like all columnists, he must have revelled in controversy that lived for a while and was then forgotten. But he's not the first to have been sacked when one wasn't.
We hold Sweden up as this kind of holy grail of parenting, of child rearing, and they're now saying that they've got a nation of spoilt brats because these brats have been allowed to have everything
rather
they want.
Rather spoilt than emotionally retarded, Katie. I mean, if you want an example
want
of someone who wasn't
decisions.
Attached to a parent, look no further than the person on my left. This is a prime example of someone who did not grow up attachment parented.
I did not.
Someone who's cold, someone who goes on the media to slag
parented.
Off other women, who slags off her own children. I mean, I'm glad, to be
Peach
honest,
cheeks,
that I'm here talking about it.
If we can, for one moment.
An early incarnation of Katie Hopkins there, arguing with Peaches Geldof over parenting on the couch of ITV's This Morning. Hopkins had started out as a contestant on The Apprentice, having taken leave from a job at, of all places, the Met Office. But she couldn't have predicted the storms that she'd brew.
telling a cancer victim that she's got droopy breasts is a constructive, helpful criticism.
I'm not looking to do constructive, helpful criticism. I have 400,000 followers on Twitter because some people find me witty and entertaining.
From ITV's Loose Women. She joined the Sun newspaper as Britain's most controversial columnist, where she compared migrants to cockroaches and feral humans. Then on to the Mail and her own radio programme. This excerpt from around the time of the Westminster Bridge attacks.
You put up there, Philip Schofield, that as an act of defiance, you walked across Westminster Bridge. You are pathetic. You are pathetic. You walked across a bridge. You walked down a pavement, down snow. You took a video on your way to work showing pictures of pretty flowers. No, you are not brave. You are not united. You are cowed.
The tipping point for Katie Hopkins came after the Manchester attacks, when she tweeted about the need for a final solution. At that point, she parted company with LBC Radio. And more recently, she's been appearing on Fox News.
So I think we understand the travel ban. I think if you look at Western Europe, you look at Nice, you look at Brussels, you look at the chaos that's been caused here by terrorists, it's reassuring to see someone finally trying to do something about it. And I think he's been frustrated in the courts in the same way that we had Brexit. It was tried to be frustrated in the courts when they tried to tell us we couldn't have what we voted for.
Despite criticism and her departure from radio, Katie Hopkins is still writing for the Mail, hot property still in the commentary world. Not so much the next columnist I want to talk about.
I don't want the fat people in my eyesight. You know, I get quite upset about the size of them, but I don't think it's right. That 63 stone woman, they would have been better to have left her there and taken the fridge out.
Kelvin McKenzie there again on This Morning, which gives a lot of time to this type of columnist. McKenzie knows a lot about newspapers, having edited The Sun for many years, but he pushed the limits too far by comparing the Everton footballer Ross Barkley to a gorilla.
OK, we're just going to bring you some breaking news coming to us here via from Liverpool. News UK news agency are reporting that the Sun columnist Kelvin McKenzie has been suspended from the paper itself.
Barkley's father was from Nigeria. McKenzie said he didn't know that before he wrote the piece, yet that didn't appease readers of the Sun on Merseyside, who had harboured a long grudge.
23 years on, it remains the night of shame for the Sun and News International. The night editor Kelvin McKenzie penned his notorious headline, The Truth, a series of unfounded allegations blaming Liverpool fans for the Hillsborough disaster.
From Channel 4 News, reporting on the final twists of the Hillsborough scandal.
Kelvin, we want you to do an interview on camera, just giving your side of the story on camera.
I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to do it next week. You're not setting
But Kelvin, no, Kelvin, you've done it. It's just the same thing. Can you explain why you... Kelvin, it's not like you to be shy. Just tell us why you overruled your own journalist to write that headline.
I will do all this next week.
Well, do it now, Kelvin. There's no need to be uncivilised, shouting through your own doorstep.
So why does McKenzie get sacked and Hopkins keeps writing? Well, that's the modern editorial conundrum. The line between what's tolerated and what's not is becoming more difficult to determine. Let's take the case of a guy you probably won't have heard of, Andrew Bolt. That's the sound of someone trying to kick Seven Shades of Sunday out of Bolt, who's a commentator who sits on the right in Australia.
It's been another very bad weekend for Islam in Australia. And I have to ask, are our politicians overreacting with security when they should instead look at immigration?
Bolt found himself in hot water in 2010 over blogs he had posted called White is the New Black and White Fellas in the Black. I let this news report explain what they were about.
Meet the white face of a new black race, the political Aborigine.
Andrew Bolt listed a number of people who have, he said, chosen to identify themselves as Aboriginal when their lighter skin colour, indicating a mixed heritage, meant they had other choices open to them.
I certainly don't accuse them of opportunism. even if full-blood Aborigines may wonder how such fair people can claim to be one of them and take black jobs.
Bolt's commentary may have landed him in court, but the controversy didn't impact his career. He still writes for a number of publications, has his own radio show, and posts videos on the web. In fact, sacking columnists for controversial comments has become the exception rather than the norm. And editors know that to sell newspapers, or more importantly to drive clicks, they need that controversy. Because they're up against the likes of this.
We're going to stab your daughter at the mall. We're going to stab your wife, your son. We're going to stab you with a butcher knife. And then the police chief's going to get up and say, we love our Somalis. We love our Muslims. Oh, they're so good. Oh, they're so sweet.
Alex Jones, a conspiracy theorist and self-publicizing commentator in the United States, who counts Donald Trump as one of his millions of fans. Jones would never find a home in a traditional media outlet because no editor would tolerate someone who questioned whether the mass murder at Sandy Hook Elementary School ever happened.
Then we see footage of one of the reported fathers of the victims, Robbie Parker, doing classic acting training where he's laughing and joking and they say, hey, we're live. And he goes, oh. And maybe that's real. I'm sure it is. And all the other fake news the media has been caught in, and CNN back in 1991 openly faking Scud missile attacks on Saudi Arabia and Israel when they were back in Atlanta and the satellite feeds caught them admitting that it was all fake, we'd be crazy not to question this, because bare minimum they were faking some of the shots and some of the coverage.
Jones circumnavigated the editorial process and set up his own company, InfoWars. There, his views go unchallenged because, let's face it, he's never going to sack himself. God knows how many people now believe what Jones has been saying, but in millions of minds, he has at least planted seeds of doubt. And that puts this Myers controversy into a bit of context. At least we know the system can still work. Kevin Myers lost his job because he wrote something offensive. He said sorry. The newspaper said sorry. All because it is still obvious to us in Ireland and Britain that Myers had crossed the line. But would he have crossed the line in modern America? Or in Australia? Or perhaps in Ireland 2 years from now? The nature of debate is changing. All of it in some way a little unpleasant.